Dating is tough, like really tough. Countless books and self-help gurus want to give you the secret formula to finding a great mate. And though there's definitely smarter ways to go about it, the best thing we can do is put forth an earnest effort to show our honest selves and hope that resonates with someone. For many of us living with a disability, the challenges of finding a mate don't stop after we found someone who laughs at our jokes. The process of wooing and courtship is a dance on a tightrope, and it feels a lot different when you're already dealing with some major life challenges. Dating app quarrels. So, what do you think about all these apps? We all know the dating apps are sticking around for a while. No matter if you love or hate them, many who are or have been single since the turn of the century have found their way onto an app at some point. For me and my fellow friends with disabilities, some apps are a bit more fitting than others. Fully blind individuals, for example, don't care much for Tinder or Bumble. Those apps rely so much on showing you the images of your potential matches, leaving way less room for questions or bios. As helpful as a guide dog can be, it won't be able to help you figure out whether to swipe left or right. Mobile applications of all kinds, not just dating apps, are set to be accessible when differently abled users can interact with the apps by using screen readers or assistive devices. Needless to say, Tinder is not nearly as fun when you have several extra taps before Siri reads that witty two-liner in a potential match's bio. However, despite needing some creative workarounds, we find ways to work through the menus, try every app that comes out, and put some thought into our search. Inclusion and accommodations are sometimes tough to get in real life, and apps being a sore reflection of that fact at times. And while they have dating apps and sites tailored to a specific audience like FarmersOnly.com or Christian Mingle, apps for the differently abled community are almost non-existent. I myself have tried a couple of the available communities, and sadly the experiences were just even more underwhelming than the regular apps. So let's talk strategy. Using the tools and options that we do have available, everyone has a different approach. I present with albinism, which is light hair and very pale skin, but unless you were familiar with that condition before we met, it's unlikely you would have suspected me anything other than ginger. On my online dating profiles, I show my face with and without sunglasses, I don't use a white cane or a guide dog, and I do not mention anything about my impairment in my bio. I very rarely get asked if I am albino, and have had modest success on the apps this way. My personal philosophy has been to approach everyone differently when it comes to disclosing my visual impairment. Sometimes I'll talk about it before the first date, or sometimes on the third. Whenever the conversation arises, it's always been a comfortable, positive, and with an open book type of approach to the topic. This whole article is sharing a lot in itself. I certainly wouldn't shy away from a few questions on a date or even a speed date. To disclose or not to disclose? A friend with a different disability, however, has an even more full disclosure approach. She doesn't shy away from showing her missing arm on any of her profile pictures and even mentions it on her bio. People living with disabilities can self-impose stigma and complexes around their life situations. But with some work and growth, we can break out of that negative mindset and feel attractive, sexy, and confident in our own bodies. She's as honest and at ease discussing her disability with me as she is with a newfound love interest. On occasion, she and I have both needed to address ignorance head-on with new friends. Disability sensitivity, as the subject is called, is the very awareness we're working to show you in this column. Other visually impaired individuals I know would rather avoid talking about their disability altogether until they know the person better. One of them doesn't appear to be visually impaired and would rather coast for as long as he can until the young woman asks why he's holding his phone so close to his face. That's when he discloses, still with reluctance. We all embrace our disability to a different extent, and he's not wrong to hang on to that information until later. That's just how he lives with his condition. Dating, hashtag IRL. All right, so what about when dating goes well? You met someone, and now you're going out on the town to do some activities, which may involve some creativity, right? Quote, "The zoo was one of our first formal dates," Susan tells me. "I remember I kept pointing out exhibits to him. Come to find out later, he couldn't see anything I was telling him about. He just played right along, because he was just such a wonderful man." She doesn't have any vision issues, but Matt does. I must confess that, like Matt, I am guilty of playing along on a date, even still today. The movie theater is usually okay. I can see the screen just fine. Places like museums, treacherous hiking trails, or even walking around a new part of Manhattan, however, can be a little touch and go. Disabilities that have a few more ominous symptoms can also be tricky when you're out on a date. A good friend presents with Tourette syndrome, a condition that causes verbal and muscle tics or spasms. She likes to disclose early on in a date, if not prior, before any unpredictable flare of muscle tics distracts from an otherwise successful dinner. For the most part, though, she's able to manage her condition, and when symptoms arise, her partner is forewarned and understands. Don't hate, accommodate. The accommodations needed to transfer from a wheelchair to bed, hold hands and alternate leading the way, or extending a listening ear if depression is surging, are hardly reasons not to date someone. It's part of connecting with each other on a truly deep level, which leads to looking far past the supposed inconveniences. After getting to know someone, I've lived the sincere, heartwarming moments of a partner forgetting the fact that I cannot see as well as she does. It makes for some awkwardly hysterical stories of how I grabbed the wrong person's arm, gave her wrong directions, or got in the wrong car. Several couples I know, including Susan and Matt, have embodied what it means to love someone unconditionally, and they're certainly not alone. We're working to bring you more in-depth stories from real-life successes and challenges of people living with cerebral palsy, spina bifida, executive dysfunction, blindness, dwarfism, macular degeneration. Almost every chronic condition or ongoing condition, couples and individuals married, single, and anywhere in between, who are not only surviving, but they're thriving.